I'm Kathy Vines, and this is Surfing the Quicksand. Today, I'm going to spend another episode with you explaining a bit more about my background, my experience, and how I think all of that informs the work we're going to do here together throughout the podcast. Today, we're going to talk about my love and my work in the area that we would call productivity. Some people might call it time management. It's this space that's very much around the organization of time and task and thoughts and effort to get things done in life, things we want to get done, things we have to get done. And I found my passion for this long before I ever became a professional organizer or productivity coach. So I want to tell you a little bit about that and about the kind of work that I do with folks and the kind of thinking that I do all the time that, again, I think informs the way I'm approaching working with some of our guests and some of the topics that I want to bring to Surfing the Quicksand. First, I want to tell you that story of when the idea of productivity really turned on for me. Now, I think it's something that maybe I always had an organization for, or an idea for, about sequencing and making things happen, right? I think I was always somebody who understood, gee, if you want to get from here to there, how do we do that? And I could help chart that out. Or I could look at things that felt like inefficient systems or inefficient ways to get from A to Z. Or I could see the way workflow would happen and the way people get work done in the workplace, in the office. And I'd say, wait, there's a better way. There's a smarter way. There's a more effective way of doing this. I think I've always been like that. That's just how I observe the world and how I observe people in it and the way things happen. But I didn't know really that there was a word for this or a word for the kinds of people who were very focused on this. And when I was about 31 or so, maybe 25 years ago, in fact, I can be more specific, it was probably 24 years ago, I was working in HR at a pharmaceutical company, a biotech company in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I was privileged to be asked to be part of a workshop day. They were working with some high potential employees and some executives to work on the area of productivity. And what they had done was they invited a special guest from the outside to lead a workshop. That special guest had just recently, within the previous year, published a book about this topic. And he was doing some more work in this space and some more roadshows and efforts like this. So the book was called Getting Things Done. And the speaker was a man named David Allen. So I know this is probably a little blurry, but and honestly, you probably can't find a book that looks like this anymore. This copy is literally 20 something years old, but it was David Allen. And again, the book was Getting Things Done. And what he was going to work us through in this workshop was a lot of his methodologies around getting things done. So if you're in the productivity space or you've ever done any some reading about this, you've probably come across his name or the concept of GTD, getting things done. So some of this may already be familiar with you, to you, but for me, this was a new way of thinking about not only how I organized my own task and time, but how I talk to other people about it. And I do think this is where my journey to being a productivity coach really started, because I was starting to get new language and new exercises and new frameworks to talk about productivity to others, not just about thinking about my own life. So what did this book and what did this workshop really talk about? Well, some of it was around having a better to-do list. Some of it was how we batch time and batch activities, right? Let's send all of our emails at once or work on all of our reports that look the same at once, and the efficiency that comes along with doing alike tasks in one sitting when you're kind of in that area of flow. Or the idea of how to organize my email and my email inboxes for different statuses. And literally, again, almost 25 years later, I'm still using some of that methodology. We also talked about the idea of managing that to-do list with understanding when and where you needed to get things done, right? The idea was if you're sitting in an airport and you don't have your computer with you or you don't have other things, how can you still be effective and efficient, right? Do you have the materials with you at the time you need them so you can take advantage of them? All of these different ways of thinking about how our tasks and the things that are on our lists to do can get to done, getting things done, right? And these different systems and barriers that we build into ourselves. Some of the work that came out of that for me that has inspired some of my most core critical work that I do with folks as a productivity coach is the to-do list, right? I got very inspired and I continue to be inspired about how people create a to-do list in a way that I say they need a to-do list makeover, right? I'm looking at the things that linger on there for a long time. Why? Why is that? Is what we're talking about there your next best action? Do you have the skills and abilities to do these works? And really, for some people, so much of our dreams or our obligations go to die on a poorly constructed to-do list. And I love working with people on this. In fact, I just recently did a workshop with high schoolers around their to-do list and having them think better around what's on there and how are they even focusing on these tasks to get them done. It really led into this work. Again, it's obviously inspired by a lot that I did, right? It changed how I worked with teams as an HR professional. I was coming in to work with people not only about like, hey, how are you hiring, but and how are you structuring work, but how is your team working more effectively together? And how are you managing longer term projects? How are you managing communication amongst people? It really, this work around this focus around productivity really started to feed a lot more of my HR career as I continued. Again, long before I ever thought I was going to go do this work as an organizing and productivity coach, which didn't happen for another 10 years. So much of this, also, this work that I do in productivity is based on a couple of core kind of foundational methodologies. So the first is, and you've heard me talk about this before, stuff, systems, and habits, right? When I talk about organizing, the idea of stuff, systems and s habits can come to life a little bit more easily because stuff, right? We know what stuff is. When we think about being disorganized or we think about clutter, we can envision stuff. Stuff is physical and in our lives and on shelves and floors and boxes and closets, stuff. But productivity and time management, stuff are the tasks. Stuff are the things we need to do, want to do, other people want us to do, right? Our tasks are the stuff. Our systems are the different tools and processes that we have in place to help us get those stuff, that task done, right? Whether it's your to-do list, your calendar, how you're structuring alone time versus working collaboratively with others. This sense of managing our time and balancing and the myth, the terrible, terrible myth of multitasking. All of these things are how we bring about the systems of the stuff and the habits, right? As the habits always are the work that we do to bring the stuff and the systems to life, right? A habit is planning and looking at our calendar and looking several days in advance or a week in advance around what we need to do. Our habits are around the discipline of saying, I am going to block time on my calendar, but really it's the locking that in that makes it happen. It's the habit of doing the work when we say we're going to do that gets that stuff to done. So the same way I talk with people around stuff, systems, and habits, when we're talking about their physical space, I talk about it with their time and their productivity and the things they feel they want to or need to focus on. The other foundational point I bring up when I talk to people about, well, honestly, when I talk to them about productivity or organizing, but very much so in productivity, is that I believe we have three currencies in life, three buckets: time, money, and energy. So, what is that? Time is how I spend 10 minutes today, or how I spend a decade of my life, right? Time. By the way, it's the one currency we cannot make more of. Money. Money is what you're spending, what you're earning, what you're growing in terms of investments. But money can be, how am I spending this next $100? Or am I saving for retirement? Again, money decisions have long and short-term impacts. And energy is everything from energy, right? My physical ability and energy to do things, but it's also my physical health, it's my mental health, it's my relationships, it's my self-talk. There's so much that's in energy that is not just about my ability to get up off the couch and go do something, right? There's so much more there. So, for instance, I'll give you an example of how I talk about time, money, and energy in terms of making choices. So, I believe with three currencies, we can spend down one and in order to invest or in a payoff of something else, right? These are levers that trade off all the time. So, an example of one is hiring a cleaning person, right? You might say, well, hiring a cleaning person costs money. Okay, so that middle bucket, that money bucket comes down, right? Okay, but what do I get in exchange for that? Do I increase my time bucket? Right? I'm getting that time back. Oh, okay. Well, that's great. And what am I doing with that ROI, that return on investment of that time? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not so good. But at the very least, if somebody else is cleaning my house, I'm not spending that time myself. So that's an investment of time. But that energy bucket is not only, might not only be, oh, okay, it's not, I'm not exerting that physical energy of cleaning my house. Maybe it's also, my spouse and I have been fighting a lot. My kids and I are arguing a lot over what this place looks like and feels like, and or arguing over who has to clean up what or why somebody hasn't done what I think they should do, or I'm not doing what they think I should do, right? That's the energy space. So what if somebody else were doing the cleaning and that could be removed, right? So we're investing in one to trade off to a gain in something else. And I think all of our choices that we make, especially when it comes to when I talk about task management and time management, productivity is about that, right? Where am I? How am I being really efficient with my time bucket? But maybe it costs me something in my money bucket to do it, or maybe it costs me something in my energy bucket to do it, or the other way around, right? I'm much happier wasting time, or what somebody else might say is a waste of time, but I saved money or I saved energy. So I think some of the work that I do with folks in the productivity space, when they're looking at choices in front of them about how to approach what's on their to-do list, or how to approach achieving their goals, or how to approach staying focused on what they're saying is important to them and their priorities, is what are the trade-offs we're making? What are we saying yes to? What are we saying no to? And does that feel like it's in balance to what we're saying we want for ourselves? I think for a lot of people, it's an exercise they've never really thought about. They're very isolated in like one decision and what that impact is at that time, but they're not really able to see a bigger picture. And that's something that I love talking to people about. So if I combine this sense of three currencies, time, money, and energy, and the stuff, systems, and habits work, what I'm bringing in to when I'm working with people or when I'm talking to anybody about what it means to have the quality of life you feel good about in terms of productivity, but also quality of life, is around choices and priorities and reflecting on what you want to do, what you have to do, what you're able to do, what you dream of doing. And how are you putting that all into place together so that they work together. I'll often hear from people who talk about like a big goal that they have in mind, like, oh, I want to publish this book. Great. And we will talk about that. I'm going to write a book. I want to publish a book, right? But I want to understand, well, what's underneath that and why? Why is this important to you? Why this book? Because unless that information is really kind of rooted in some of those foundations about what is it that I think I'm getting out of this? What is it that I think is going to change my life because I've done this? It's going to be really hard to do the hard work of achieving a big, bold goal. So some of that foundational work about, well, what are we doing about this? Why? What are you getting about that in your energy bucket compared to what it's going to take from you in your energy bucket? What are you getting from that in your money bucket compared to what it's going to take from you in that money bucket? Being able to help people think holistically around motivation and choices around what's behind their to-do list can be so profound for some people. I love being able to help people get some clarity around this and get some new exposure to what it means to be focused on productivity. Now, I'm going to have people on this podcast who are productivity experts, and it's what they love, and it's their business, it's their life, it's everything. And they've moved much further into that discipline and into making that world their whole world than I have. For me, it is something that I look and I talk to people all the time about topics, and they don't even realize that what they're talking about is a productivity problem. So this will come up in my talks, in my interviews, my perspectives around productivity, that balance and quality of life, because I do believe that there are some people who think the goal is always more productive, more productive, more productive. And again, at what cost? I want to make sure we're always talking about at what cost to your life are you becoming a robot? I want to make sure people are approaching their quality of life at this phase, this midlife women phase, in a way that feels balanced and thoughtful and intentional. And I want to make sure that we're talking about tools and strategies that are achievable, accessible, realistic, and effective. If you're someone who has been thinking about productivity, or a reader, or a podcast listener, or something else there, and you want to share with me some things that you love that have helped change your perspective on getting things done. I mean, like lowercase GTD, not the big David Allen methodology, but how you get things done in your life. I would love to hear that, right? I hope to explore different people's perspectives. As you hear me interview people in this podcast, you will hear me continue to ask people three questions at the end. And one of them is, what's a technique or a tip or strategy you use to get unstuck and do something that you've been avoiding, right? That in itself is a productivity question. And I'm going to be asking that of every single guest, even if they're not a productivity expert, because I think we all face this. We all struggle with, I should be doing something else right now. I should be doing that thing on my to-do list. I do it too, right? I'm not a machine. And I want to make sure that we're all getting more inspired one episode at a time on different ways to be thinking about how to build the life we say we want to live. I hope you found this helpful. I hope you heard a little bit in here that got you thinking a little bit more about how you approach time and task. And I hope you only continue to get more out of it as we explore episodes together.